Locker Room, welcome back. Thanks for joining us again. This week, you're going to love this one. If you haven't already, subscribe, follow, stay in touch with the Locker Room, stay in touch with all of the great insight that we've got. Did you know that both Apple and Android first launched their stores way back now in 2008? Long time ago. Feels like not quite that long, or I think so. There are 3.6 billion plus Android users globally. Did you know that? And by 2027, it's suggested that the app market across all landscapes will be worth some ridiculous value. I'm going to read it. $670 billion worth of revenue generation. Did you know that? Did you also know that today's guest, if only 1% of his own following decides to subscribe to my channel, I will hit my first 100 subscribers. Today's guest, what can I say? He's a stand-up comedian. He's a YouTube sensation. He's a huge advocate of next-gen talent and technology. And he is genuinely a super hot Android developer and speaker. Travels the world, does it all. Please welcome onto the stage, Mr. Ben Cadell.
Hand off. The audience can see that I'm wearing
rubbish trousers. And I just realized that whole time I was sat there, my name's on this little thing the whole time.
Amazing.
Yeah, and I'm also going to put it on the, like, you know, the thumbnail. So there's surprises. But hey, look, it's all about the entrance.
Amazing. Well, thank you for that wonderful introduction, by the way. What a, you're making me blush. Bless you. Thank you.
I mean, what
thanks for having me on the show, buddy.
I've given you the big sell, but what, you know, tell us a bit about you. Tell us what anything I haven't said, or correct anything that was wrong.
Oh golly! So I am, by title, a principal platform engineer for Android. Woo! Just means I'm an Android developer by trade. I work at a company called Babbel. We do a language learning app, and I did do a lot of work on the actual Android client before I switched teams. I'm now in the mobile platform team, so I deal with like our everything around the actual app itself. So that's my job. As you very kindly plugged my YouTube channel, which I haven't done anything for in a long, long while, contributing that laziness is the first factor, time lack of second factor. But yeah, so enjoy doing that. And I guess my main shtick is I love making complex topics digestible for everybody, because tech is for everybody. And without everybody in tech, it's not really a shared experience. It's really fluffy and cheesy. So that's me, I guess.
I like it. So how many languages do you speak? If you work on you're working on a language app, how many languages do you speak?
Well, I know the idiot that codes the app, so I try and stay away from it. So I just speak pretty good English, and I speak enough German to be able to order myself a beer and go to the supermarket.
All the important things, right? Therefore, your English is better than mine, so we might just cobble this one together and survive out the other side.
We'll fumble through. We'll figure it out.
First things first, then. Why Android? Why not iOS?
Oh, it's a big question. To be honest, it's kind of, I would say, accidental initially, not out of choice. My first sort of smartphone was an Android. I had the Nokia 3310, but that's not a smartphone. Then the first sort of smart computer phone I had was one of them Windows phones. And I was really interested in sort of messing around with it. But at that age, I must have been, I don't know, 14, 15, whatever, not really a clue what's going on. And then my next phone after that was an Android-based phone. So it's simply by accident that I fell into the Android camp. But now I'm very belligerent about the Androidness of it all, the open sourceness of the OS and all of the bits that go into it. You know, it's a far, in my opinion, easier ecosystem to program for. It's, you know, it's based off of like Linux, and so obviously like Apple's based off of like BSD and like some form of Unixy system, but the Android operating system far more open, accessible. Yeah, it's about the transparency, the openness, you know, that the fact that you have to jump through all of these loopholes to code for iOS, like you have to have a Mac machine to compile an iOS application. You have to, you have to code inside of Xcode or whatever, and the emulators, all of that nonsense. And then on Android, it's like, yeah, you got Windows, you got Mac, you got, a Linux based distribution, go for it, whatever. So yeah, I think now I'm very much more of the opinion that like Android's just superior. But there'll be
it's
a lot
got nothing to do with it. Just add a cooler logo of the little green robot then, no?
That is true. Where are my boys? Hang on one second. Let me show you this. You'll like this. They should be out, but I put them away for a second. So I go to conferences.
When Ben talked about getting the boys out, just to point out this is not going to go explicit.
Yeah. All right. There we go. There's my little Android minifigure collection. I got a bunch of them
Look
here.
At those.
Where are they? So I go to droid cons often, and there's usually like competitions to win these figures. And I'm one of those belligerent assholes that just sits at the competition booth and tries my best to win as soon as the next round comes out. And then, yeah, basically spend my whole conference at one booth trying to win this thing and just go home, you know?
I mean, why not get up on stage, give some random speech about, something, and then disappear off with your mini pet robots. I love it. What moved you in the engineering sense, in the technology sense? Was it that initial kind of ooh, this is exciting when you had that kind of Windows phone to move you towards the app development space? Had you always wanted to kind of get into that, or since its inception? Because it's not the traditional route. Most of us kind of go through engineering school, for want of a better phrase, and you come out and you do the standard, I want to build a website or a HR system, and then others go into the kind of app space, and you're one of those. So what was it that really moved you that way?
I like engineering school, by the way. Engineering school.
Good. I'm going to
very nice. We need stickers for that. Okay, I'm getting distracted by myself. So again, accidental, really. Like the for me, the Windows Phone, it was like exciting to have a computer in my hand. That was like, holy moly, this is crazy. And like my first sort of experience of the whole, all the chipsets getting smaller, it'll fit into smaller and smaller devices, and like bang, there's this Windows Phone that's like slow as hell, but I can like go through a file explorer in my phone and I can open a .mp3 file and it'll kind of play. And that was mind blowing. And then getting into Android was really just accidental. I did my degree in computer games programming with the hopes of becoming a famous games programmer. But then somebody told me that it's really stressful job and really intensive, and I'm a very lazy person. So it sounded not for me. So then I decided to go into teaching. So I went into high school teaching, IT. I did the PGCE year, which is the first training year. And loved the human side of it. The interaction with the kids, all that kind of stuff. Hated the rest of it. The politics, the hours of mind-numbing, spreadsheet filling, homeworks, marking, parents at parents evening garbage. So I was like, no, sorry, this is my rant. After teaching, then I went into my teaching education, I did a bit of supply teaching to make a bit of dollar, and then stumbled into a school where they were looking for an IT technician, and then I was like, oh, okay, I can do IT. So I joined the IT technician crew, and they gave me this old out-of-date Android app that did something about like tracking their laptop trolleys around the school or something like that. Nothing interesting. But they needed an up-to-date to it, and the guy that wrote it had disappeared, had left. So I had to like deconstruct this app. I'd never touched Android code in my life. So like it was obviously like Java and stuff under the hood, but like I'd never touched like the Android ecosystem. Deconstructed it, tried to make a fix, and sort of fumbled through, and it kind of worked. And I was like, oh, I made an Android app. I didn't. I stole someone else's and barely tweaked it. But that was the start of it, I guess. I kept doing little bits on that app. Then when I moved to Germany initially, I moved into a company called AppSmart, and obviously they make apps. And it was not native Android code back then. I was doing like Ionic and Cordova, so like the hybrid app where it's written in web tech, and it's slow and nasty and all that kind of stuff. But on this, you know, on the side, I was doing a little bit of native Android, sort of progressing, and that's the majority of the story. Then obviously Very with your good self, and I was put into the mobile apps team, and got a marvelous mentor in the wonderful Graham Bryan as well. Shout out to my mentor Graham Bryan. But yeah, that's the story. Sorry, it's really longed and dragged out. Please feel free to cut me off at any time.
hugely entertaining. I'll work on the edit later. No, it's all good. just for point of reference, we love all teachers.
Yes, we do.
Those who can teach, those who can't become Android engineers, I think is the message.
There you go. There's the. Oh no, I have mad respect for teachers because it's just the hardest thing I've ever done, and I was just like, nah. Good luck to you. Like,
so you talked about kind of, you know, basically ripping off somebody's app and adding a bit and tweaking a bit and turning it into what they needed in that particular case. I mean, to a broad degree, and I massively insult a number of people in saying this, but fundamentally, that's where the open source market came from, right? You build on that community code, you take somebody else's idea and you make it a little bit better or a little bit more fitting for your environment. And as somebody now who goes into businesses, talks to non-technical teams to advise where they want to go with the technology stack, they've got no money. Open source is usually a bit of a go-to. Again, it's got some drawbacks. It's got some limitations, depending, again, on your setting, on your context. But fundamentally, it's a good place to start. But, you know, do you see a kind of ceiling looming, or that kind of critical mass or maximum velocity or whatever the right words I'm trying to find are, in terms of, you know, $670 billion worth of revenue generation by 2027? That's only a couple of years away, really. You know, where does it stop? What are the limitations around some of these frameworks and tool sets to keep building, especially in the context of evolution of Gen AI, AR, VR, PR, whatever other acronyms we want to throw at this? But there's a lot going on, especially when you started this with, I can open an MP3 on a phone, how cool is that? That we are worlds apart from there. Where's the ceiling? Where does this stop?
I wish I knew. But I mean, yeah, it is wildly different now, right? Like the idea of these generative AIs, and, you know, things like ChatGPT 3.5 model, 4 model, they're just absolutely stunning. And I'm, you know, obviously this maybe is a whole nother topic, but I'm terrified of the whole AI situation. Like, I'm one of the people that, you know, I can already see like my job getting replaced. Like, why not? Like, and I used to say like, oh, I've got my job for like the next 50 years. And then, you know, like the first models came out, I'm like, oh, okay, it's at least 40 years. And like, now we're on GPT-4. I'm like, Christ, I need to start looking for a job in like the next 3 to 4 years. Because it's insane. Like, we've got like things like GitHub Copilot that are able to write like essentially pretty good code. You need to guide it a little bit and, you know, sort of hold its hand and whatnot. And but there's even more like incredible models that are beating like, you know, the GPT models. Like, I think it's called Claude or whatever. It's meant to be insane for like coding, and its accuracy rate is like ridiculous. So I'm like, well, so, you know, anyway, I've gone way off topic there, but we're all developers will either be made redundant, in my opinion, or become prompt developers, AI prompt developers. That sounds awful. Anyway, I forgot what your original question was. Limits on the stuff. I mean, like, it's kind of fascinating because a couple of years ago, when was it? Must have been like 2016. They were talking about this operating system called Fuchsia, right? Which was the replacement for Android. They were saying Android's going to be dead in like a couple of years and Fuchsia's going to take over. That's all now, but disappeared entirely. And they've obviously moved on to the next thing. But it just shows how like quickly these things come and go. But it seems like this AI situation's here to stay. And I guess there's going to be no limits on that, especially when it's like, I was watching a video the other day, like the ones that are now, the models that are in now, right? They've like been trained on a set and their learning has essentially been frozen. But the point where they're doing like models that are going to be continuously learning as they're being used, that's going to be terrifying. We might already be there. I have no idea. I feel way behind already. Like, I have no idea if whatever I'm saying is right. It's crazy.
Well, let's dig into that. And you know, don't worry, you've always got your teaching to fall back on, clearly. But, you know, let's dig into that a little bit. You know, because some of the questions genuinely around how you keep pace with everything that happens across technology. And it's mind-blowing, the pace of change. Yeah, I mean, really wasn't that long ago that the cloud was the most exciting thing that had ever happened, and all that was a data center by another name, right? And that's something that we started to do. Then you had the kind of blockchain era, which lasted for about 3 weeks before then crypto kind of became the new and hot thing that we talk about. And it's a relentless pace of change. And I did a talk at the end of last year around this idea of the kind of the business engineer. Everyone has potential now to be an engineer because of what you're talking about. You know, you've got tools that you need not have gone to engineering school. You need just to know a couple of prompts, and you know, you can build an app. You go to some of these AI sites, build me an app that has a calendar and will allow me to put some products up for sale. Bosh, done. That is interesting. It's exciting for small businesses with not a lot of capital to spend. From your seat, you know, legitimately, how worrying is that from an industry perspective, from an engineer's perspective?
So, for me, right, my personal opinion, I am worried in terms of job security. But in terms of, like, industry, it seems to be, well, as it should be, the complete opposite. It's like embrace and use AI for whatever purpose you can find. It seems that every company has this new new AI branch. Even in Babel, I'm not entirely sure if I'm supposed to speak about it, but we have like a team that's looking into like usages of AI across our app and so on. So everybody's sort of jumping on the bandwagon, and I guess as it should be. but yeah, it's I don't know. For me, yeah, I'm concerned, but I'm really, really curious. Like right now, you know, the state of things with like in terms of coding, my job right now, I don't think in this moment an AI could sufficiently take over what I do at this moment, maybe in a couple of years. Now, I can use AI as a tool to help me code. And a lot of people talk about, don't think of AI as like replacement. They think, they say like, think of AI as a colleague that you're pair programming with constantly. And I was really resistant at first, but then I asked first time like, hey, AI, what can I use you for? And one of its responses was like, I can help you code. I'm like, get out of here. Then I was like, okay, let's try it through a little problem. I'm like, I can't even remember what it was. Write this composable animation to do this or that. And I was like, put it into ChatGPT or whatever it was I was using at the time. And it gave me something that was pretty close to what I needed and just had to tweak it. And but it's only going to get better, right? It's AI is the worst it will ever be right now in this moment. Well, obviously it was worse like yesterday, but every now moment it will be the worst that it will ever be, which is terrifying. It's terrifying. Like the generative image stuff is terrifying.